This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Coming up on the end of November, Thanksgiving is Thursday. About time flies. Time to go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us. SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I've been a little bit chilly, Steve. How about you?
Well, it is that time of year. We're really spoiled this fall. We didn't have any cold stuff. It was very dry. Been getting a little bit more rain and certainly the cold on the way. What are you seeing in the outdoors?
Well, the duck season, you know, for the most part, closes tomorrow, and it's been a woeful season, so I'm kind of glad it's over. I spent the day putting the decoys away, the duck boat, getting all that stuff done and breaking out the ice fishing gear. You know, I looked at next week in the North Country, it's going to be, the highs are going to be like 4 or 5 degrees next week. So it looks like a guy can get on the ice here in maybe 10 days. So breaking out the portables and all of XORs and everything, getting ready, and that's next on the agenda, and people are, you know, definitely pumped up about it. And the deer season is, you know, certainly winding down, and they're going to have the muzzleloader season starting on the 30th, I think, or the 28th. So that's the next thing coming up. But we'll see. Been in a bow stand this week quite a few times. I think the deer is still a little bit traumatized from the gun season. They're, you know, laying low and nothing much is happening, but, you know, give them another week or so and they'll kind of come around and, you know, start feeding, especially when we get these colder temperatures. That's going to get them on their feet quite a bit more. They're going to be a little bit more active, so you don't want to put the bow, you know, away quite yet.
Let's get back to the duck season. Is it the worst you can remember with the combo platter of weather? And then beyond that, we know in recent years, certainly the numbers have been way down as well.
You know, Steve, I have never worked so hard in a season that I have this year and produced so little. It was just very, very difficult. And, you know, there's many reasons. It could be the weather, you know, has not driven those ducks south. It's been 60, 70, 80 degrees in the fall. No reason for them to move. I think the early teal season and the early youth season was very detrimental. You know, when you shoot at those ducks in early September, they're going to leave. And then by the time we get to the opener 3 weeks later, they're educated or they're gone. And I think that's had an impact as well. But, you know, I know there's was some, you know, shooting in North Dakota, South Dakota. Most of my buddies out there struggled, which you never hear that. I mean, that is duck nirvana. And they had a tough time out there, too. So I think, you know, the migration just was so late. And, you know, my season up here ended on Tuesday. And now a lot of golden eyes and buffleheads, a lot of those really late season ducks are coming down now. And so it's just, you know, a timing thing. And it just, you know, they're going to come down through Thanksgiving and probably the beginning of December. And, you know, we missed out. So, unfortunately, that's the way it is. I kind of wish they would start the season a little bit later and then extend it, you know, later into November, just because we've had this trend of really warm falls, which we've had for maybe the last 10 years. And I think that has, you know, had a major effect on the migration.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, as you pointed out, cold weather moving in and, you know, we get, and it's really about, you know, staying below freezing during the day, but those, you know, cold, calm nights, ice can form pretty quickly. So, and we know how it goes. The early bite is great, and people are going to be chomping at the bit. So maybe this ice fishing season is going to be right on schedule, and it could be a good one.
You know, I hope so, Steve. You know, the retailers that sell a lot of ice fishing stuff had a really tough time last year because there was no ice.
Sure.
and they suffered a lot, and I know they're really having trouble. So we really need a rebound of, you know, a normal year so they can, you know, get a lot of their sales done and people can get out and do what they want to do. So right now it looks fine, and, you know, if we can get a good ice base right away and keep the snow away for a while, you know, that'll get more participation, get people out there, products will sell, and things will come around. But, you know, you just don't know sometimes, and it looks like there's really no snow in the forecast at all of any significance, which we really don't want. So if we can get a good base, 8 or 10 inches of ice before we get any snow, that's going to really be an improvement. So right now things look pretty good. The ice show is coming up in December in St. Paul. That's a really big deal. Shields is doing a lot of stuff right now. So everybody's kind of ramping up, and looks good right now. I mean, you know, you never know with this Minnesota weather what's going to happen. But right now everything looks, you know, pretty good. A little sad the open water, you know, fishing season is over. I ended it last Friday. The fishing was so good in the last couple of weeks. I mean, the walleyes were just going crazy. It was beautiful. It was just wonderful. November is really probably the best month of the year for walleye fishing. People don't really realize that. They put their boats away, put the docks in, they go home, whatever. But you're missing out on November. It's such a great walleye month. And I'm sorry it's over, but, you know, we move on to the next thing, ice fishing.
Yeah, and great holiday coming up on Thursday, Thanksgiving. What have you got in the lead up to Thanksgiving and then right after? I would assume you're going to take a break Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, I'm going to probably cook the turkey that I shot a couple weeks ago, try that. I'm going to brine it for about 24 hours, which I've never done before, and see if I can tenderize it a little bit. But it looks like I'm going to be in the bow stand through December, Steve. It's been kind of a tough go, and I'm going to just keep at it. Ice fishing, again, I think is going to be maybe 10 days, no more than 2 weeks in the North Country when people will be able to get out. And they're already talking about Red Lake is almost, you know, frozen over right now, and that's a big destination.
Wow.
Lake of the Woods, you know, all those very far north areas are going to open up a lot earlier, and then we'll get, you know, everybody heading north, and that's good. So we'll see what happens, and it looks like that walleye change, that limit change is going to happen from 6 to 4. It's either going to be next year or 2026, but that is on the docket, and that's going to happen. So everybody has to kind of prepare themselves. It's going to be a really big change.
All right, Steve, by the way, have a very good Thanksgiving. We'll do it again in 1 week.
Sounds good. Have a great weekend. See ya.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney. And Steve Kearney Outdoors. Oh, by the way, our Outdoors coverage comes your way on Sunday afternoon. Rob Drury's line, Outdoor News, has an hour-long show between 5 and 6. Great guests, a lot of great info. Rob, Outdoor News, Sunday between 5 and 6. We'll take a break, get you up to date on what's going on at Prep Bowl. It's a week early. I know people are saying, whoa, Prep Bowl? And it happens around Thanksgiving. Not this year. It is a week early. Prep Bowl started Friday and ends today. A final game of the day, the 5A championship. Elk River and Alexandria underway at U.S. Bank Stadium. We'll get an update from our good buddy John Millay, media specialist with the Minnesota State High School League, in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Let's get an update on Prep Bowl a week early this year. John Millay joins us from the Minnesota State High School League. And, John, final game of Prep Bowl underway right now.
Yeah, Steve, we're going to wrap up the high school football season. We have Elk River and Alexandria in the Class 5A game. Elk River is ahead 8-0 in the first quarter. Nice crowds here from both schools. It's been a really, really good weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. And a word of advice for Alexandria, you want to stay in the game. You don't want to fall too far behind Elk River, because the Elks will score points.
They will. They run that power T offense. The defense has to keep their eyes open, because you don't know who has the ball. It's the most remarkable. It's like a three magicians in the backfield who has the ball. And, yeah, they've got a good system. They've been doing that way for a long time in Elk River. And And they played earlier, and Elk River beat Alexandria by 10 late in the regular season. So they know each other. I don't think there'll be many surprises. It's just who can execute.
Yeah, and a great way to close out Prep Bowl this year at U.S. Bank Stadium. And by the way, Alexandria got on the board. It's now Elks leading Alexandria 8-6, and they're setting up for the extra point.
Go.
And by the way, all the games are on Channel 45. A quick update there, Elk River leading Alexandria 8-7. Once again, Prep Bowl again on 45 this year. Earlier, Stuartville, a dominant performance, being a Findell's Cokato team 43-22. And then in the nine player, Fertibel Trammy beat Hills Beaver Creek 20-8. So congrats to the champions crowned earlier today.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Stuartville is undefeated for two consecutive years. That's hard to do. And Fertile Beltrami had never won a state football championship. And Brian Nelson, he's been there for 36 years, the last 30 as the head coach. And here they are, finally got that state championship. They were in the Prep Bowl a couple years ago. And that was a fun team to watch. And you know, just a happy bunch of folks. It's going to be a good Saturday night in Fertile and Beltrami, Minnesota.
Yeah, great stuff. And then four titles decided on Friday in the opener. Minneota in 1A beat Springfield 70-20. And we should point out their head coach, Chad Johnston, will join me here in about 15 minutes or so after we run down all the college football scores. I would argue, and you've been following high school football in the state for a long time. I've been following it for a long time. This may be one of the more dominant seasons we've ever seen at any level, what Minneota did this year.
Yeah, to put up 70 in a Prep Bowl, that tied the Prep Bowl record for most points by one team. And yeah, I've been to a couple, I don't know, two or three games in Minneota. It's just the epitome of small town football. You know, the football field is the outfield. The visiting bench is on second base. Just great atmosphere. The expectations are high. You know, in all sports, that's one of those towns. Our friend Patrick Royce from the Star Tribune went down there earlier in the week and wrote about just what goes into small town success there. And Chad Johnston is just, he's not only a great football coach, he's a phenomenal guy. I've gotten to know Chad over the years. And he was saying after they won their Prep Bowl, he's also the boys basketball coach. He used to coach the girls. All they did was win three state titles, but he's got sons. He's got three sons and they're basketball players and football players. So he said, somebody asked about basketball season. He said, "Well, we're going to give them everybody Monday and Tuesday off. We're going to lock the gym. No basketball practice. We all need a break." So that was pretty good.
Yeah, it is extraordinary, and Chad's going to join us. But like I say, I have been observing football for a long time. I don't remember a season that dominant. We have had undefeated state champions, Maple Grove and 6A.
Sure.
More on the Crimson in a moment. But their dominance in 1A is, I've never seen anything like it.
I've seen a couple of smart alecks say, how come they don't opt up to 2A? Well, because they're a 1A school. You can't fault them for being really good. And one thing is that this isn't new, Steve, but I've been just talking to coaches after these games, you know, for years, you ask about what goes into building a successful long-term football team. And every one of them, there's two words, a weight room. That's the whole thing. And you hear the kids talking about it, how they never miss a day in the weight room all summer as they're building up toward another football season. And that's huge. You've got big, strong kids, you know, who spend a lot of time together. That's huge in a sport like football.
Well, and I think beyond it, you get the kids excited, the kids in elementary school excited. And then it becomes self-perpetuating, if you will, because they understand what it takes and what the tradition is. And that's why I think you see a lot of these towns that are perennial powers, you know, in Minneota's at the top of the list.
Yeah, and then you look at like Becker, which won a title.
Sure.
Dwight Lundeen's only been there for 55 years. I don't know how many, you know, generational families he's coached. And even at Jackson County Central, Tom Schuler's, he won a state championship in 2001, and they won another one now. And he talked about some of these kids, you know, he coached their dads. And it's just that tradition. especially in those small towns, it seems. Expectations are high, and if you're slacking off, you're going to hear about it from people in town because everybody knows everybody.
Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned the legend Dwight Lundin. Becker beat Totino Grace 24-8 in 4A. And, of course, Totino Grace has been quite a program over the years. Jackson County Central beat Staples Motley in 2A yesterday, 42-26. And one of the storylines there was some of the key injuries they were able to overcome on the way to a state title.
Yeah, if people remember last year's state semifinals, Roman Voss, who was then a great sophomore quarterback at Jackson, he got hurt in the semis and was left the stadium on a stretcher, a shoulder and a concussion. And when he made his return last week, he was using a wheelchair and crutches because in their state quarterfinal, he broke an ankle. Now, he was back today. The cast is off. He's wearing a boot and he's using a scooter, which is good. But that poor kid, you know, he's the top-rated junior football player in Minnesota. And yes, after they won, Tom Shuler said, I don't know that there's any seniors better than him. That's what kind of athlete that kid is. I've gotten to know Roman. I wrote about him last year when he was healthy again and playing basketball. I told him down here at the prep bowl, I said, you know, if anybody deserves good luck in the future, it's you, young man. And he's such a nice kid. But to lose your quarterback, you know, the top-ranked player in the state, and still do what they did, it was pretty amazing. And I'm writing about that today for John's Journal on the High School League website, among other things. But, yeah, it's pretty incredible.
And, by the way, MSHSL.org is the website. John's been doing it a long time. And then finally on Friday night, 6A, Maple Grove, the unbeaten regular season. They beat Minnetonka 28-21. The Crimson, it became apparent early in the year they were the team to beat, and they ultimately won it all.
Yeah, it's hard to count out an undefeated team coming to that game in 6A football. And, boy, the place was rocking last night. Those 6A towns really bring the crowds and really well-played football, boys. You know, football's in great shape in Minnesota. You see the kids on these teams from the little schools to the 6As and the coaches. It's just so – I've lived here for 30-some years. It's really something how it's grown and that we get, and these kids get this opportunity to play at U.S. Bank Stadium. It's really something. So, yeah, Maple Grove was from about week 4 or 5 was the team to beat, and they showed it last night. And Minnetonka gave them a great game. It was not an easy win for the Crimson, but it was really fun.
Yeah, so they win the title, and once again, one to go coming up on the end of the first quarter. Elk River leading Alexandria 8-7, and as we mentioned, Chad Johnston, the Minnesota Vikings head coach, the 1A champs, will join us here 10-12 minutes or so here on CCO. Hey, John, I know it's been a busy run through the fall sports season, but thanks for joining us for an update on Prep Bowl.
Anytime you ask, Steve, I'm happy to do it. Thank you for everything you do.
Well, thanks, John. Much appreciated. There he is, John Millay, John's Journal, MSHSL.org, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. We'll run down all the scores. Big Ten, Top 25, D2, D3 playoffs underway today as well. And then Minnesota head coach Chad Johnston joins us here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Quick update, D2 playoffs. Minnesota State wins at Augustana. And, oh, by the way, Bemidji State wins today as well, beating Angelo State 24-14. We'll get game reports on that. D3 playoffs today. La Crosse beat Northwestern 59-14. Bethel down Coa 31-26. Game reports there later. Right now, Big Ten, Top 25. Here's Jonathan Lowe.
Good afternoon, Mr. Thompson, and happy early Thanksgiving to you and everybody out there. It's just a few days away. Get your turkey ready. Get your ham ready. Get all the meats and the sides and the fixings ready to go, because you're going to sit back and you're going to watch some pigskin. You might eat some pigskin, but you also watch some pigskin during that weekend as well. And before then, get ready for this penultimate Saturday across Division I. It is another beautiful, wonderful Saturday in the fall, y'all. College football here, there, and everywhere. And we get it rolling in the Big Ten and down the street at Huntington Bank Stadium, where Minnesota got off to a quick start against Penn State. They got the first 10 points of the game. They scored on the first possession, a touchdown, and then they got a another field goal. Penn State came back to tie. The Gophers went back down and scored to get up 17-10. Penn State, in the last couple minutes of the first half, score a touchdown, but then chaos ensued. A blocked extra point return for 2 points, and the Gophers lead number four Penn State early in the third quarter, 19-16. They got the ball to start the second half, and they are driving on the Penn State side of the 50. It may be a first down. It's going to be close to a first down around the 40-yard line of Penn State as the Gophers look to pull the upset, 13.5 to go in the third period. In Lincoln, it's a battle for a bowl berth. 5-5 Wisconsin at 5-5 Nebraska, and the Cornhuskers are leading early in the third, 27-10. In Ann Arbor, Michigan trying to get bowl eligible. Who'd have thought you would be saying that this late after the way they started the season as number 10 in the country? But the Wolverines are leading Northwestern early in the third there, 24-6, the score at the Big House. Earlier today, number 25, Illinois, they missed a field goal late against Rutgers. Rutgers decided to call the timeout before the kick was attempted, and so Illinois got a chance again on fourth down. They went for it. They converted for a touchdown, and number 25, Illinois, takes down Rutgers 38-31, the final. Illinois 8-3, Rutgers 6-5. The big game of the day was at the Horseshoe. It was number 2 Ohio State, number 5 Indiana. Indiana got an early 7-0 lead, led through the first quarter. But then in the second quarter, Ohio State got their offense together. They got it rolling, and they win going away 38-15. First loss of the year for Indiana. Both teams now at 10-1, and Ohio State solidly in control for their place, their berth in the Big Ten championship game. Iowa goes on the road at Maryland and wins 29-13. Mike Locksley may not be too much longer for College Park. Later tonight, it'll be the crosstown rivalry in L.A., UCLA hosting USC at the Rose Bowl. And last night, Michigan State got to 5-6 on the season. They stay alive for a bowl berth. They went over Purdue 24-17. It's a rebuilding year for Purdue. They've lost 10 straight, so they are continuing their downfall for this season. Let's head to the top 25 scoreboard. It is a duel in the desert right now, midway through the third quarter. Number 21, Arizona State, continuing their assertion in the Big 12. They lead number 14, BYU, 21-3. The Sun Devils trying to surge into a Big 12 championship title berth. And we have number 16, Colorado, also in search of that, but Kansas is on fire lately. They're the hottest 4-6 team you'll see across the country. It has just started the third quarter at Arrowhead Stadium. Kansas leading number 16, Colorado, 23-14. Number 17, Clemson. They got no problems with the Citadel today, 42-0 early in the third quarter. Number 3, Texas leads at halftime over Kentucky, 24-7. At the half in Columbia, it's number 18, South Carolina, leading Wofford, 21-9. Number 23, Missouri at Starkville, taking on Mississippi State late in the second quarter. The Tigers up 28-10. Finals from earlier in the day, number 9, Ole Miss, had a chance to control their path, maybe not into the SEC championship game, but into the new college playoff. They do not control that any longer. They lose at Florida 24-17. Number 13, SMU. I believe they have now wrapped up a spot in the ACC championship game. I'll get more on that later. SMU wins over Virginia 33-7. Number 8, Miami. They look to stay on track for that other berth in the ACC championship game. They defeat Wake Forest 42-14. Number 10, Georgia goes out of conference and rolls UMass 59-21. Number 11, Tennessee takes down UTEP, shuts them out 56-0. Coming up later on this evening at Yankee Stadium, not the house that Ruth built, maybe the house that Judge is building. Yeah, who knows about that? Number 6, Notre Dame, taking on undefeated number 19, Army. Number 12, Boise State, goes on the road to face Craig Bowl and Wyoming. Number 7, Alabama, is in Norman to take on Josh Wheeler's Oklahoma Sooners. Number 22, Iowa State, heads to Salt Lake City to take on Utah. Number 15, Texas A&M, goes to the Plains to take on Auburn. Last night, number 24, UNLV, wins at San Jose State, 27-16. Final week of FCS action as they get ready for their tournament. The tournament will be announced tomorrow, and we have an upset, folks. We got an upset in the Missouri Valley. from the Dakota Dome, South Dakota upsets North Dakota State 29-28. A huge loss. North Dakota State was on track to be the number one seed in that tournament starting next week, but now it is going to be up in the air. Who might take advantage? Maybe South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits lead at Missouri State 38-9, just started the fourth quarter. Northern Iowa they win today at the Unidome over Indiana State 41-34, and North Dakota loses. They may have had an outside shot to get a selection. They were 5-6, though. They dropped to 5-7 on the season. They lose at Illinois State 35-13. And St. Thomas ends out their season with a win on Senior Day over at O'Shaughnessy Stadium. They defeat Dayton 32-9 to close out the season at 6-6.
All right. A lot going on. By the way, we'll have another rundown of the D2 and D3 scores. We've got game reports coming up. But right now we want to talk Prep Bowl and a team that won another title on Friday at Prep Bowl. Mineota beat Springfield 70-20. The Vikings win their third straight 1A title. Their head coach, Chad Johnston, joins us on the line. Chad, thanks for waiting through the scoreboard. Congrats on another unbelievable year.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you guys having me with you today.
Yeah, you had Patrick Royce from the Star Tribune out. You guys are getting a lot of attention, but rightfully so. It is just an unbelievable culture of winning, not only in football, but in other sports. I mean, volleyball, you name it. I mean, Mineota gets it done.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate, obviously, to have a lot of success in our athletic programs over the years. We've had a lot of buy-in by our kids. And a lot, like you said, a lot of different athletic programs. And, of course, in football, we've had a lot of buy-in by our kids, our community, our parents. I mean, we all know to be successful, it's going to take a lot of people, and everyone's got to, you know, support you and allow you to do your thing, and we've got that in our community.
Yeah, and it is really year-round work and year-round commitment. There's no question about it, and it takes even the kids in elementary school, the first graders, second graders, third graders, to be excited about football and see what it takes to, once you get to high school, what it takes to win titles.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about culture and small towns. I remember when I first came to Mineota years ago, they always talked about how you always saw kids running around with footballs in their hands, and that culture was kind of started years ago. And my wife is the elementary principal, and she's had to tone down the elementary kids playing football at recess because they get awfully competitive with each other. But that's kind of that thing. I think Ryan Maher kind of said it well yesterday after the game. They grew up watching the kids before them and seeing that success, and they want to be just as successful, so they continue to work hard.
Ryan, you brought up Brian Maher, your running back. What a day, 22 carries, 290 yards, Prep Bowl record, 6 touchdowns, and to see him play on television, or if people have had a chance to see him play in person, what a football player.
He is. I mean, he's just a great kid for us. And obviously we got a lot of them, but I always say a very soft-spoken kid. He doesn't say a whole lot of words. He goes out and he works hard. He gets his job done. He's a very unselfish kid. People have been talking about their records and everything else, and he'll be the first one to tell you, is the only one that counts to me and matters to me is I got to hold the trophy up with my teammates. And so he's been a phenomenal kid to have in the program and a great kid to coach. And obviously we're really going to miss him.
And it was clear, based on what this group or a lot of the kids in this group had done the last couple of years, that the expectations were very high. But then ultimately you go out and do it from the start of summer camp to closing it out with the title yesterday. You got to be thrilled, because I was looking at the scores every week and just dominant wins week after week after week, and that's not easy.
No, when we went into this year kind of with high expectations, we've had a few kids in this group that were 3-year starters, Ryan being kind of one of them. He got hurt a little bit in his sophomore year, but a lot of kids with that experience. We had a good chunk of offensive line back. Two of our wing backs, and Destin Fear and Lucas Rubinsky, were back. And And so when you have those pieces all together, you're kind of like, yeah, well, if you got your offensive line back and your three skilled running backs back, you should be able to figure something out. And our kids, just week after week, other kids stepped up. And you know, the kids that had to fill in roles of the good seniors that we graduated last year, they really filled in for us. And as you said, we just kind of we thought things could go well for us. We knew kind of going into the year we had a very tough run, would have a very tough run against Bold. Bold is a great program, and we had to play them in a regular season, and we had to play them in the section finals to get out, and actually had to come back from behind to get them. But we really felt like if we could get over that hurdle, we could do really good things. And I think as we saw the season progress, we just saw this group continue to grow and grow and grow. And then after that, you're kind of like, I think we can do a lot of good things, and the kids did.
Chad Johnston joining us, head coach Mineota. They won another title in 1A, big win over Springfield, and just a dominant season. I've got to ask now, not a lot of downtime. Is it just take a breather, enjoy Thanksgiving, and then I know everybody kind of gets back to work for the winter sports season?
Well, you know, that's, you know, unfortunately the downfall to having the success in football is it does kind of put a damper a little bit on your winter sports. I also coach head. I'm also the head boys basketball coach, and one of my main assistants is the head wrestling coach. And so the next gamble is trying to figure out, you know, we're going to give our kids a couple of days off. We're not going to start basketball practice until Wednesday. Sometimes kids aren't really keen on that, but you're like, no, you need a break. Winter's a long season. We've had a long football season. You need a couple of days just to regenerate a little bit. And, you know, the downfall again is, like I said, we'll be behind the eight ball when the basketball season starts. But, again, it's a great problem to have, and we've been fortunate to have to do it the last few years, so we're kind of used to that.
Well, congrats on a fantastic season. Congrats to Mineota and all the kids and all the coaches and really the entire community, because it is an amazing effort. Just year in and year out, you can count on Mineota to be there.
Yeah, like I said, we've been very fortunate. Our kids have worked extremely hard, and again, it's a complete buy-in by everybody. So, again, we're very fortunate to have this success.
Wow, thanks for the time today.
Yep, thanks for having me.
There he is, Chad Johnston. Another title to Mineota. They won the 1A crown, beating Springfield yesterday at U.S. Bank Stadium. By the way, Wild One Brewing, Elk River leading Alexandria 16-14. Midway through the second, Elks have the ball. They're going to go up and down the field for that 5A title. We'll keep an eye on that. By the way, a final game of Prep Bowl at U.S. Bank Stadium. Quick break. We'll come back. Game report. Minnesota State at Augustana, the NSIC champ in the first round of the D2 playoffs. We'll get a game report momentarily here on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is college football final. D2 playoffs get started today. D3 playoffs get started today. Final day of Prep Bowl on the high school side. Bemidji State on the road in Texas at Angelo State. Kevin Reed, the voice of the Beavers, joins us. Kev, big win for Bemidji State. How about that?
How about that, Steve? It was one of those games. It was college football. If you didn't have a horse in the race, you would have enjoyed watching. It was very entertaining. Aside from an early injury to the running back for Angelo State, Braden Wilcox, he had to be taken off in an ambulance. Very precaution because of one of those head injuries. No update on him. The Angelo State people were headed to see him as we came out. But the Beavers scored in the first quarter after a 60-yard punt return by Drayton Lehman. Sam McGath ran it in. It was 7-0 Beavers at the end of one. Then in the second, the Angelo State Rams blocked a punt, recovered it at the one, and cashed that in to tie it at 7. With about 10 minutes to go in the second quarter, the Beavers went on the most impressive drive of the day into a 25-mile-an-hour wind. 14 plays, 75 yards, 7.5 minutes. Bubba Peters, another touchdown catch, his 12th of the season from Sam McGath. Beavers led at the half 14-7. Then Connor Mantelli had a field goal blocked in the fourth quarter. There was no scoring in the third. He had a field goal blocked in the fourth, bounced right back with his next attempt for 47 yards, was good, made it 17-7. Then it was an impressive drive from Angelo State, 10 plays, 75 yards. Beavers thought, hey, we're in pretty good shape. Next thing you know, it's 17-14. And then the play of the day, backup quarterback Connor Carver. Yeah, that's right, Connor Carver, redshirt sophomore. They decided in the second half he was going to run the ball a few times to give Sam McGath a break. With 2 minutes and 7 seconds to go in the game, Connor McCarver gave him a break for 59 yards and the game-sealing touchdown. 24-14 was the final. The quarterback for Angelo State, Braden Fuller, had almost 300 pass attempts on the season, no interceptions. Beavers intercepted him twice today, including the game clincher with under a minute to go.
Great win, and yeah, and another big, and Kev, we got about a minute, another road trip coming up next week.
Yeah, Gunnison, Colorado, Western Colorado, the team that Central Washington beat last year to come to Bemidji. Western Colorado found a way to win, and the Beavers are going to try and break that three-game losing streak in the second round. They're 4-0 now in the first round, 0-3 so far in the second, going to try and fix that next week.
All right, Kevin, safe travels.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, there he is, Kevin Reed, the voice of the Beavers. Bemidji State wins on the road in Texas, beating Angelo State 24-14. Meanwhile, Minnesota State upset Augustana in Sioux Falls. Mavericks advance. They'll be at CSU Pueblo in the second round next week, and we will get a game report coming up following the news and weather at 5. The voice of the Mavericks, Aaron Worm, filed a report. We'll have that for you. We'll have another rundown of the Big Ten and Top 25. By the way, at Prep Bowl 5A, shootout. Elk River leading Alexandria 24-21, 4 to go in quarter number 2 at U.S. Bank Stadium here on a Saturday at CCO.